Good morning. It is June the 17th, Wednesday.
Unbelievable.
And we're still here. This is the Education Subcommittee of Ways and Means with a good week's more work to do, and then who knows. We are going to start, and I would open a work session on Senate Bill 218. Krista.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 218 is one of the fee bills that accompanies the HEC budget that you passed out yesterday. The bill relates to higher education program review. The bill clarifies the requirement that out-of-state institutions offering educational credits or degrees in Oregon must first obtain approval from the Higher Education Coordinating Commission, the HEC, and the HEC is also permitted to establish four new fees associated with these out-of-state institutions. So the estimated impact based on these fees is a total other funds revenue of $567,000 and an impact of $190,296 related to one new position, which is a 0.7 FTE. And the other thing that I would mention from the public hearing, you'll recall, this is work that HEC is currently doing, and they currently have staff in the current service level of the budget. So when you see that they're generating more other funds and that they're not spending it in new FTE, this other funds balance will also go towards existing positions that were already in the current service level that were previously funded with general fund. But in this new budget, now there are other funds funded.
Are there questions of Krista? Madam Co-Chair.
Well, Mr. Co-Chair, I'm trying to get to my page, but I move that we pass the move Senate Bill 218 to the full committee with the due pass recommendation as recommendation.
Right. We didn't amend it.
Right.
Okay. Discussion. Senator Roblin.
Having heard this on our other committee, this is a really important bill to let out-of-state schools that want to get certified here pay their cost of actually doing it and not supplementing our other local universities because we pay the bill. So I think it's a really good bill, and I'm pleased that it's here.
Okay. Thank you. Any other discussion? Any objections to the motion? Seeing none, 218 is on its way. Senator Roblin, you want to carry this?
Sure. Either place.
And to the floor and to the full Ways and Means and House.
Representative Smith Warner.
Sure. Representative Smith Warner to the House. Okay, we'll close the work session on 218, open a work session on House Bill 5025.
Okay, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 5025 is another HEC fee bill. The bill relates to the financial administration of the Higher Education Coordinating Commission. The measure with the Dash 1 amendment is expected to generate $267,750 other funds per biennium and will support one position, which is a 0.3 FTE, and then three position reclassifications that are in the budget at a cost of $114,753 other funds per biennium.
Questions of Krista? Madam Co-Chair.
Yes, Mr. Co-Chair. I move that House Bill 5025 to the full committee with a due pass. Mr. Co-Chair, I apologize. I move the Dash 1 amendment to House Bill 5025.
Okay, Dash 1 amendment has been moved. Is there discussion? Is there any objection to the Dash 1 amendment? Now, Madam Co-Chair.
Yes, I move the House Bill 5025 to the full committee with the due pass recommendation as amended.
You've heard the motion. Discussion? Okay.
Same carriers.
Heard the explanation. Any objection to the motion? Senator Thompson objects. Anybody else? Motion carried. I will carry this to the Senate. Madam Co-Chair.
Representative Taylor.
Okay. And do you want to carry it to the full, or do you want me to?
I can carry it to the full.
Okay. Madam Co-Chair, we'll carry it to the full. I will carry it to the Senate, and Rep. Taylor will carry it to the House floor. Close work session on 5025. Open a work session on Senate Bill 860.
Okay, Mr. Krista. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 860 relates to university pilot programs. The bill directs the Higher Education Coordinating Commission to select by January 1, 2016, one large and one small public university to participate in a pilot program. The one thing that I would note, as you'll recall from the public hearing, you had a fiscal impact of $285,000. That was an impact for 1 year of the pilot program, and the implementation date of January 1, 2016 would be a year and a half. So we have a dash A3 amendment for a little bit more, which is $427,500 for a year and a half of implementation costs for that pilot program.
Okay. Are there questions of Krista? Madam Co-Chair.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash A3 amendment to Senate Bill 860.
Okay. Discussion of the motion. Any objections to the motion? Madam Co-Chair.
I move Senate Bill 860 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation as amended.
Heard the motion. Discussion. Any objections to the motion? Okay. Senator Roblin, you want to carry this one?
I would be glad to.
Senator Roblin will carry it and to the Senate. And Madam Co-Chair?
I would highly recommend Representative Huffman.
Representative Huffman to the House.
I will mention that if Senator Edwards, who brought this bill, wants to carry it on the floor, I would love to give him that opportunity if I don't. If that's okay.
To the Senate floor?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll check with that.
Oh, but, careful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the other carrier, the sponsor was Representative Senator Gelser, so.
Okay. No House sponsors?
Not that I saw.
Okay.
Okay, so Senator Roblin to the full, and we'll check on the Senate
on the
and Rep. Huffman to the House floor. Close the work session on Senate Bill 860. And open a work session on House Bill 2474.
Chairman Rowe, members of the committee, House Bill 2474 relates to veterinary medicine. The bill prohibits veterinary facilities from offering services related to veterinary medicine unless registered with the Oregon State Veterinary Medical Examining Board, and requires the licensed veterinarian to ensure facilities in compliance with rules adopted by the board. The bill establishes a rules advisory committee to provide recommendations to the board for the registration and inspection program. In terms of the fiscal impact statement, the board is currently gathering data to determine the number of veterinary facilities currently in operation in Oregon. The initial estimate provided is about 500 facilities. The board intends to begin the rulemaking process and then provide these facilities with a self-certification for compliance with minimum facility standards for the first year. They intend to adopt through rule a $150 annual registration fee that will cover the cost of registration and then cover the inspection program as allowed by the bill. So they anticipate doing the self-inspection for a year. That'll generate cash flow to then pay for investigator position starting in January of 2016. And that's where the cost of $110,705 of other funds in one position in the fiscal impact statement, and then their revenue estimate is $150,000 of other funds. This was assumed in the agency's budget bill, House Bill 5023, that was passed earlier, and there are no amendments.
Okay, discussion. Questions for John. Madam Co-Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. John, could you remind us if there was a fee increase in in the veterinary's budget, or I don't remember how we did that.
Co-Chair Monroe, Co-Chair Conk, members of the committee, this was assumed in a policy package. Passage of this bill was assumed in a policy package in
right.
the budget. So this fee, this estimated fee was included in there. It's not an increase, it's a new fee. They did have
okay.
a fee increase, I believe, last session for their regular licensees, but this is a brand new
this
fee.
This is separate. Okay, thank you.
Additional discussions? Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I see that I was excused on the floor the day that this came to the House floor. It was requested by the governor for the veterinary board. Is this to specifically deal with veterinary clinics, veterinarians that do surgery and dental stuff? Is that the addition? And was this done at their request, the industry's request? Where's this coming from? Do you know?
Chairman Rowe, Representative Huffman, members of the committee, I believe industry was behind this request, although it was requested by the governor at the behest of the board. The executive director of the board is here. She might be able to talk more about the industry's role in creating this program.
Come on down, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
Yeah, identify yourself and then tell us where this came from.
Okay. For the record, I'm Lori Mockinen, director of the Veterinary Medical Examining Board, and the genesis of this bill, along with its companion 2475, were two bills that were introduced in the last session by OVMA, sponsored by Senator Whitsitt, and they basically did the same thing. There was a registration of facilities, all facilities, not just surgery, dentistry, because all facilities don't do those particular things. There are some facilities or practices that just do wellness or vaccines or exams or things like that. They still have minimum standards that they have to meet for safety, public health and safety, and care of animals. The bills didn't pass last time because there were problems with the language that with legislative counsel and the board's attorney's interpretation. So they were pulled, and then between then and the start of this session, we worked with OVMA, PVMA, Oregon Humane, Banfield, VCA, public and private practice veterinarians, public health veterinarians, and citizens to come up with these two bills, which essentially do the same thing. The primary difference with these bills is that they don't contain the definition of facility in statute. And that was the big problem last time, because the way our attorney interpreted it, the definition in that previous bill would have required us to basically license a chicken coop if you had one in your backyard. So we started all over again with input from all the parties and came up with what you have now.
Okay.
So you feel that the definitions are okay? There's no ambiguity in there that's going to create problems?
Mr. Chair, Representative Huffman, and members of the committee, we're going to do the definitions in rule. That was one of the sticking points with this iteration. Was there were a couple of people that still wanted to define facility in statute, and the nature of facilities. There is a broad range of facilities out there, and they're changing. So we felt that it would be a lot better to have it have facility defined through rule in a public process with all the affected parties providing input.
Great. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Additional questions? Thank you for your help. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Motion, Madam Co-Chair.
Yes, Mr. Co-Chair. I move House Bill 2474 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Additional questions? Any objections? I probably should assign this to Senator Whitsitt.
For both the full and the floor?
Yeah, full and the floor. And then we need somebody on the House side.
Mr. Chair, I would say Rep.
Oh, it already passed the House?
It did.
Oh, okay. That's right.
Okay.
Came to us from the House.
So Full and Senator Whitsitt, if for some reason he doesn't want to do it, let me know and we'll find somebody else. But I know, you know, he's a veterinarian and he's been involved in this. Okay, thank you very much. We're done with that. And we will move to House Bill 5022, work session, the OEIB bill.
Mr. Chair, members, there should be a packet of materials for you. I will try to be briefer today than yesterday. It's a much shorter budget, and you'll not have to listen to me for over an hour droll on, hopefully. So this is the budget for the Oregon Education Investment Board. I think most of you understand the purposes of the board as it stands now and the chief education officer. I should note that there is Senator Roblin's bill, Senate Bill 215, moving its way through the process. I think it's in House rules still. But this budget assumes the passage of that bill, and briefly, that bill terminates or eliminates the board itself, maintains the office of the chief education officer, and extends the sunset of that office from March 2016 to the June of 2019, I believe, and then also changes some of the responsibilities, and this budget reflects that a bit also. And then further background, I believe Senator Roblin is putting together a work group that will be taking a look at the role of the chief education officer and other areas of that. But one of the primary focuses of that work group is this office. And so this budget sort of reflects that, too, knowing that they'll likely be coming back further changes in 2016 session around this office. So with that in mind, I would suggest you turn to the usual sheets of pain to go through, the orbits thing, for the lack of better term. And that is in front of you. This is a single-unit budget, unlike the HEC budget that had probably 20 units last night. I can't remember. There are too many to count. But this budget in front of you is a single unit. And if you turn to page 2 of 6, this is the first policy package, and it has a number of things in it. First of all, since this budget was scheduled under current law to sunset on March 16, 2016. We need to put out or bring in a funding for the full 24 months of that period. So this budget, this package brings that forward. So instead of only having about 40% of the budget, extends to the full 24 months period in terms of the staffing. This package also deals with the ETIC funds and takes care of that. If you remember from yesterday, a little over $24 million is headed for the higher or public university system, and the remainder of that money. And I'm noticing is everyone's screen? Mm-hmm. Okay, so we did not get it rotated. So if you need help, she can help you out with that.
We learned how to do that in first grade, but not with computers.
So in terms of the ETIC funding, $24.5 million is retained in the public university system, and the remaining $6.1 million, which actually is in this budget at this point in time, is reduced and moved over to what is essentially the Talent Council at this time. So with this package, there is no longer any ETIC funding in the OEIB budget. The only reason it was here is sort of a placeholder when the chancellor's office went away in the university system in the 2016 session. The money ended up here. So that is package 101. It takes care of extending it to a 24-month period and deals with the ETIC funding. The next package is adjustments that we are recommending. There are some positions in this budget that, given the work of Senator Roblin's bill and the work group, that may not necessarily be necessary anymore. And so this takes care of that and sort of is based on the responsibilities and the timing of future action. So the chief of staff position is no longer, hasn't been filled for probably the whole entire session. So we are recommending that that position be terminated. The position that had been what either the board secretary or the board administrator, that position is extended for 1 year. Thinking about trying to figure out exactly what happens with Senator Roblin's work group and what comes out of the 2016 session after that, if that position should be continued, that the chief education officer, Dr. Golden, can come back to the 2016 session and see if that if the stars align for continuing that position. We also reduce services and supplies by about $56,000. Much of that is sort of the board-related costs. The governor plans to appoint a new sort of joint board made up of members of Early Learning, State Board of Education, HEC, in the Youth Development Division, or Council, I believe. And so they will not meet as often, but it's still expected that the, given the new, or the sort of changed responsibilities, that the that there'll still be quite a few meetings going on, bringing back folks together.
Madam Co-Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Doug, this new board, as you just described, which I think sounds like it's an excellent idea, is there a bill that's coming forward, or it's just executive?
Executive order.
Okay.
And it'll be an advisory board, and we did that because we want to see if that's the right thing to do or not. So.
Okay.
That's the option.
What, can I follow up, please?
Sure. Please.
Well, Senator Roblin, will you have some sort of analyst to help you do an evaluation of that effectiveness, or is it just, is it going to be just Senator Roblin?
We have a fairly large work group. There's 22 or 23 different organizations that are involved, and the department itself, the new agency, has been willing to have people there to help us with that. Doug has been coming on a regular basis to help us as well, and so we will figure out who we need to have do some of that analysis and whatever, and ask as it goes on. We're planning on meeting every other week throughout the summer with the same group. We weren't sure how engaged people would be, and yesterday we had our first meeting of that new group, and every group that was there before showed up, including a couple extras. So,
wow, that's a lot better than this committee.
So it's been heartening to see how many people really care and want to make this work and try to figure out how to make it better. So I have been very impressed with the diligence of all the groups of people.
Well, I just didn't know if you're traveling to Coos Bay for all of them, but
no, they're all coming. We decided not to do it in the central location of Portland, so we're going to do it in the central location of Salem.
Okay.
And so, but it's interesting. We have said it's open to people. If there's others that would like to participate, we input is always helpful. And so the latest group that added itself to it was there's a new group forming on teachers that have earned the national certification.
Oh, wonderful.
And so one of those teachers will be at each of our meetings.
Good. That's helpful.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Doug?
Yes. Back to the package. In the current service level budget, there are some resources for pay differentials that date back to the former chief education officer. So those dollars are removed from the budget, and not only that position, but another position in the office, as well as the office manager's position is reclassified to better reflect the responsibilities and the duties of that particular person. So that is package 801. There's a net $661,000 decrease. The next package, and I'm sorry, it's sort of a multi-page package.
Decrease.
The first page is sort of blank. That's the system that does it. So if you go to page 5 of 6, it's a rather long description, and that's what drives the multiple pages here. The system is not perfect. This package deals with the statewide longitudinal data system. The package itself provides $550,000 general fund to continue this project. The project is continue to be in the development and post-development stage in the sense that they're still developing project management materials and the planning and the budget. And this package provides the $550,000 that will continue those activities through March. And it's anticipated that the agency will be coming back to the 2016 legislature to request funding for the full cost of the project. That is still being developed, as well as the sort of the approach that's being taken. You'll notice that the policy package discussion includes some standard language you'll see in budgets, very similar to what you saw for the OSAC project yesterday in terms of requirements, making sure they follow the state CIO's sort of requirements, the stage gate process, and make sure the proper not only the documents, but the process is followed and completed that will lead to a more successful project by design. There are three limited duration positions in this funded through March. The current staff that's working on that now, which also includes a project manager that has come on board in the last couple months. So the package cost on that one is $550,000 general fund. In three positions, 1.14 FTE. And Mr. Chair, that is the budget as presented by LFO.
Okay. Questions? Do we need to hear from Dr. Golden? Dr. Golden's just sitting there being pretty. Okay. Senator Roeland.
I would say, in having conversations about the two positions, the chief officer decided that we had picked the more expensive one. We could take the less expensive one. I think that got reflected here. Everybody tried to have an explanation to her that maybe she keep the extra money. She said, no, I'll go with the chief of position. So I think she's doing due diligence to try to make sure that the agency is as lean as it needs to be and not too far. It was great having the conversations with her. So I just wanted to put that on the record. I know Doug tried to say, are you sure this is what you want to do?
I didn't do it directly.
So I appreciate the diligence with which she has in working on her budget, as well as the diligence of participating at the meetings that we've been having. So.
Well, the salary is less than $800,000
a year? Well, no, it's the one that was there before was more than
yes.
that.
Yes.
So that's a little smaller.
Madam Co-Chair.
Thank you. This question is to Senator Roeland. I've always been interested in the QEM model, and that it is, to my understanding, a model that can help us look at data and forecast. Is that something that you've considered as a tool, or you have better tools in your toolbox?
It came up actually yesterday in the conversations that we had directly, because I do think that it is one of them. We talk a lot about outcomes, mm-hmm. But we don't always talk about what outcomes cost. So we say we need to have 90% or 100% graduation rate in our 40-40-20. In the model, it actually is designed to give you information about what that will cost you. And so we had a conversation about that and said we really need to have that conversation because we all know that getting the first 50%, let's say graduation rate, is pretty easy. They're going to do it whether you wanted them to or not. The next 25% costs more because you have to put more in to get them up to that point because some of them come with a lot of other baggage. The next 20%? And a little harder. Now we're at 95%. That's even more expensive. And you want to get that last 5%? You may put in as much money to get there in the model, and it shows that, as you put in the other 45% of that other people, because they come with a lot of different issues that need to be addressed. And you get down to one-on-one teaching with those get very expensive. So I think having a conversation about that so we have a real understanding that if you don't use that model, you're going to need to have some model to really give you an idea of what it actually costs to meet these standards. And I think we try to avoid that by just passing the reg requirements and then saying, now it's your job, and here's whatever we give you. And I think a realistic understanding of some of that would be is important. And so I have always enjoyed the model. I haven't necessarily agreed with it all at the point, but it actually does take into consideration those kinds of things. And I expect that we will continue to have that conversation.
Yes. Mr. Co-Chair, just a comment.
Madam Co-Chair.
Ever since I've been here as a legislator, I've always heard of the capacity of the QEM model, and yet it's something I didn't know even existed until I was here. And perhaps with your work group actually using it, the word will get out that we have this tool in our toolbox, and people may use it for other initiatives.
Senator Roblin.
I hope that people understand. We were one of the schools when they were working on developing it. As a principal, I was very engaged in it. Dr. Connolly from University of Oregon was the person that helped really gather up all the information and do it. And so I have a lot of belief that it is a good model. It probably needs to be adjusted. Times have changed.
Sure.
The biggest problem is the answer it gives us is not one we want to hear.
Right.
That makes it something that people don't necessarily agree with, because it does produce a number that says if you do all these things, this is what it will do and this is what it will cost. And that's hard to have to deal with. So we have this rule that allows them to tell us every year what it should be. But so, yes, I think understanding how the model works and using it might be helpful in some of those conversations.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, additional? Do we have amendments?
Mr. Chair, the first step would be to accept the LFO
recommendation
on the numbers.
Madam Co-Chair.
Senator Monroe, our co-chair, I move the LFO recommendations to House Bill 5022.
Okay. Questions? Any objections? Okay, now do we go to key performance measures?
Key performance measures, they should be in the back of that packet at the bottom.
Yep.
Probably also sideways, unfortunately. I apologize for that. If the these are all proposed new KPMs, because they are a relatively new agency, they are reflect sort of overall goals of education ranging from pre-kindergarten and grade school readiness through post-secondary. So, and they're rather broad, but I think in this case, since this is an agency that oversees all of education, P through 20, that they probably are a good reflection of what they are or what should be there. The targets, again, are initially set, and they probably, just like Heck proposed KPMs yesterday, it really will be 2 years from now when you really start to dive in and figure out, because these are, you know, baseline data, for a lack of better term, and we'll see what the results are for 2 years. So those are our recommendations on the KPMs, is
Senator
to accept
Roblin.
Them.
Senator Roblin.
Just, you know, going on with that group, we kind of decided yesterday that also that the KPMs of all the agencies will be used as part of the indicators for what the outcomes are supposed to be within these agencies. So it was a decision was made that we will get all the KPMs from TSPC, K-12, HEC, and all of those to look
right.
as a group to see those as being indicators of the outcomes that we want. So I'm pretty excited about that, too.
Representative Smith-Warner.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I was just wondering if we could walk briefly through, because some of these numbers are a little confusing is a strong word, but just for clarity on exactly what. So, for example, number one, increasing reading readiness for students in kindergarten. Is the goal for 20% of students to be ready, or for there to be a 20% increase in the readiness? So there's I have a couple questions on those numbers.
Wilson.
As we go through them.
Well, I believe it's the increase, but actually I'm going to have, if Mr. Tromba can come forward, he's sort of the keeper of the numbers and the master analyst in this case.
For the record, Peter Tromba, Research and Policy Director for OEIB. So the answer is correct on the reading readiness. These are percent increases.
Okay.
And I don't know if you, I'll leave it at that and see.
Okay.
Okay.
I was going to say, can I go down and ask
yeah.
you my other ones? Okay. So it'll be to increase it by 20% in 2016 and to increase it by 25% more on top of that in 2017?
No, 25% off the baseline. So
okay.
the idea would be in 2 years, 5% more in that following year.
Great. And then the chronically absent, I think, is pretty self-evident. Increasing the number of high schools offering college credit by 200 or by 200%?
That would be the total. So right now, and I'd have to look at my notes, we're considerably below 200. So this is an increase, I think, of 30 or 40, but I would actually
That's
have
number
to,
of schools.
Total number of schools offering, correct.
Okay. So you would like it to be 200 by 2016 and 220
correct.
By 2017, but we're not sure right now exactly what. But
and I'd be 200. Happy to get that and follow up and get our correct number.
Great. And then the barriers that are identified and addressed. So there will be, the goal is that there are 12 that have been identified and addressed?
Exactly. So in this case, it's one of the key things that's been recognized for the new office is this idea of breaking barriers. So we have a process to identify what constitutes a systemic educational barrier, and we're going to identify, enumerate, and then address. Essentially one a month was our thinking for this. To be honest, this kind of thinking, in order to set a goal like this, I think as Doug Wilson just said, we'll know a lot more after a year of kind of going through, is this baseline make sense? But it made sense to us, one a month.
Okay. But with that one, then there might be zero now because this is not something that you have systemically done before this point. It's something you've talked about, but you don't necessarily have
well,
them.
I'm sorry. I should be doing my
co-chairs. I should be as well. Sorry.
Rep. Smith Warner, we actually do address systemic educational barriers right now, and it was our reflection on that current work that led us to get to this number. We're getting more laser focused on it, I think, as we move forward, but we do have experience of a barrier comes forward from the system or another agency, how Dr. Golden and the team work on that with the educational system, how a policy is brought forward, and how we check it off is done. So it's based on past experience and then looking forward with our new focus on that.
Okay.
Additional?
I think that it, although there's no numeric ones on 9 and 10. That would be my only other question.
Okay. Representative Taylor.
Thank you, Co-Chair Monroe. I just had a question about the not chronically absent. Is there now a definition for that we use statewide for chronically absent? I understood before that we did not have one. Is there now a definition?
Co-chairs, members of the committee, Rep. Taylor, there actually is a definition. So the way we define it according to the Achievement Compact metrics is that a student is chronically absent if they miss 10% of their school year or more aggregated across that the year that they attend.
Follow up? Regardless of the reason? So, I mean, as it was explained to me before, is that there's, sometimes a child has illness or moving, or is it regardless, or it's fine to include all of them. I just was wondering what the
co-chairs, members of the committee, and Representative Taylor. I would have to double check. My recollection is that there are reasons do play a role in that. Some reasons count, some don't. But I would have to get back to you on exactly what that was.
Thank you.
Okay. Additional. Thank you, Mr. Wilson.
Those are the KPMs, and it would probably be good to have a motion just to play it safe on the acceptance of the KPMs and the LFO
Co-chair.
Recommendation.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move that we accept the KPMs for House Bill 5022 as presented by LFO.
Additional discussion? Any objections to the motion? Okay, Doug.
Mr. Chair, there are no budget notes at this point for this budget. There is, however, as I noted, specific sort of guidelines and instructions around the development of the statewide longitudinal data system project. And then that would set you up for the recommended changes to the appropriation bill. And we're recommending a budget of $6,240,557 general fund. And that is what is in your dash two amendments. That is the formal formal motion on the dash two amendments.
Madam Co-Chair, on the dash two amendment.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move the dash two amendment to House Bill 5022.
Discussion? Any objections to that motion? Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Our final motion for today, I move House Bill 5022 to the full committee as amended with a due pass recommendation.
Discussion on the motion? Any objections to the motion? Senator Roblin, you going to carry this one?
I would be glad to.
Senator Roblin to the full committee and to the floor of the Senate. And Madam Co-Chair?
I would like to carry this to the floor.
Madam Co-Chair, we'll carry it to the House floor. Closed work session on 5022.
And Mr. Co-Chair, yes. I would request that we reopen Senate Bill 8860. Representative Smith Warner has an opportunity to change her vote.
I believe it will not affect
the
outcome.
This is the pilot program. We will, how do I do this? We have to reconsider.
I think it's best if you take action to reconsider the vote, open the work session, and then change the vote.
Okay, motion by Madam Co-Chair to reconsider the vote by which we passed out Senate Bill 860. Any objection to the reconsideration? Okay, now 860 is back before us. Madam Co-Chair, a motion on Senate Bill 860.
Do we need a motion, or can Representative Smith Warner just...
A motion, and then Senator Smith Warner can vote no.
Move the bill.
Pardon?
I move the Senate Bill 860 as presented.
Okay, Senate Bill 860 is moved to the Senate, to the Ways and Full Ways and Means, with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you.
Discussion, objections to the motion. Senator Smith Warner objects. Anybody else? Motion carries. So it's back to Full Ways and Means.
Yep. You need to reassign the carriers.
Did we have, who were the carriers?
I was the one for both the committee and the House and the Senate. And I was going to let Representative Edwards know, and we were going to get back.
That's right. And who did we assign to the House?
We'll check on that. Who was the House carrier?
May have been me.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. All right.
And you need to close that.
Close the work session.
Close the work session on 860.
And Mr. Chair, in terms of schedule, you have, I think, five bills up tomorrow or four. There is a chance that there will be a subcommittee meeting after full on Friday. We have a large stack of bills that are piling up. If enough are ready to go, that we may schedule one. So please watch your agenda. We'll make it as quick as possible. I know the House, I believe, is meeting on Friday morning. I believe. I'm not sure about the Senate. We'll have to deal with that. It would be after full committee, and we'll try to get it done in the morning. So folks
will
get
moved. I won't be here if you're doing Fridays and Mondays. I've got to get home and get to work.
Well, Senator Thompson, how are you going to make up all these absences?
I have three paid sick leave days left.
Are you sure?
I've got three left.
Okay.
And then we'll make sure we'll also have meetings on Monday and Tuesday of next week for sure. And we'll see about Wednesday.
Probably Wednesday. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Questions for Doug? Thank you very much. We're adjourned.
Based on the explanation of Senate Bill, based on the explanation of Senate Bill.